But I'd like to talk today about something which we covered actually in the latest Q&A, when we talked about the man of sin, and that the man of sin is going to be held back, the manifestation of him, but it will happen soon that he will show himself to the world. And I received a memo from somebody saying that your message this past Sabbath was a timely one. Now, this had to do, of course, with the Pharisees and how they act, but it's related. He said, I also believe we are closer than we think to the end of the world. But then he went on to say, why do you believe there is another falling away coming? Didn't this occur already? And I thought that was an interesting, important question, which I like to answer, begin to answer today. By doing this, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians one more time, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let us read what is being said in here, and I will focus today on the timing of the falling away. There can be no doubt that a falling away has already taken place, a falling away from the truth. It most certainly took place in recent times after Herbert Armstrong died. But was it that falling away Paul, for instance, is talking about here? Let's notice the context. 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come, or as the Authorized Version puts it, is close or is at hand, is coming immediately. Let no one deceive you by any means, verse 3, for that day, we're talking about the day of the coming of Christ, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the timing here is very close. So you have the falling away and the manifestation of the man of sin at approximately the same time. And it goes on to say in verse 9 that the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. We know that when the man of sin manifests himself, it's very shortly before the beginning of the Great Tribulation. And so if you look at the timing, it appears that that falling away will also occur in a more magnificent, if you please, manifold way at that time. And that goes hand in hand with what Christ said, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Now, of course, we will address a little bit later what it means when we are talking about falling away. Falling away from what? And in what way? Matthew 24, beginning in verse 8. He's talking about wars and rumors of wars and religious persecution and deception and famines, pestilences, earthquakes. Verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then, verse 9. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations, or better, in all nations, for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Now, if you keep going, you find in verse 11, it says, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And verse 12, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. That's a time setting. Where it says many will be offended in verse 10, other translations say here many will fall away. You can read this, for instance, in the New Jerusalem Bible, in the Revised Standard Version, and if you have a German Luther Bible, you can read it in that one as well. The Living Bible says, many of you shall fall back into sin. Many of you shall fall back into sin. Without turning there, but if you think in regards to a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 13. And verse 5, you are being told that if a false prophet shows up and he even tells you something about the future, and the future actually comes to pass the way he says it, God says, don't you believe that false prophet, because he is deceiving you to follow other ideas. Exactly what Christ is talking about here. There will be many false prophets. They will deceive the people, even with signs and wonders, as we have just read. Now turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 8. And again, we find a remarkable passage where Christ's warning is contained. Luke 8 and verse 13. Of course, he's giving the parable of the sower. But notice verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Oh boy, have you seen that? And they have no roots, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. Interesting. The International Version says, in time of testing. The New American Bible says, they fall away in time of trial. Now, that is generally true. People are being called, maybe, understand the truth to an extent, accept it with joy, and then things don't happen the way they expect them to, and then they fall away. But a particular passage is referred to in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, when it talks about the time of trial or the time of temptation. When is that going to take place? Revelation 3 and in verse 10. This is what Christ says to the Philadelphia church. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. That's, of course, talking about the Great Tribulation. The Authorized Version says a time of temptation. The Living Bible says, I will protect you, or the American Bible even says, I will keep you safe, reminds you a little bit of the place of safety. I will protect you from the time of Great Tribulation and temptation, which will come upon the world to test everyone alive. And so here we have a passage, taking it together with Luke, that this great testing resulting in the falling away of many will occur when the Great Tribulation begins. Has already occurred prior to that, but will reach its climax at the time of the Great Tribulation and, as we will see, the day of the Lord. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Again, an end-time prophecy. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, or the other translations have here, in the last times, in the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Here you get a clue as to why people are falling away. They are listening to teachings and doctrines of demons and those who propagate teachings and doctrines of demons. And as a consequence, they fall away. The American Standard Version says, some shall fall away from the truth. The Luther Bible, 1984, says, in the last days, some will fall away from the faith. Here we go, the truth, the faith, falling back into sinful conduct. I'd like to turn back to a passage you might be familiar with very much, but have you ever looked at that in the context of the falling away? Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. It says, alas, sinful nation. Now, we most certainly can apply this to the physical nation of Israel. I'm talking not necessarily only about the state of Israel, I'm also talking about the United States of America, Great Britain, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. But I can also and would also like to apply it to the church, insofar as the timing is concerned, which is being described here. What does he say? Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. Before you can forsake the Lord, you must have known the Lord, right? They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. Now, I'd like to read this to you from the Revised Luther Bible, 1984, which I had to translate into English, obviously, from the German. That's how that reads. Woe to the sinful people, a people laden with guilt, the mean race, corrupted children who forsake the Lord and blaspheme the Holy One of Israel, who have fallen away. Where shall one strike you next, since you persist in your falling away? To me, this clearly refers also to the end-time Church of God. And so now, notice Jeremiah 2, another parallel passage. Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 29. Why will you plead with me? He says, you all have transgressed against me, says the Lord. In vain I have chastened your children. They received no correction. They received no correction. The Authorized Version says, I have smitten you. Didn't we just read about God saying in Isaiah, how can I strike you? Why should I even strike you more? You're not listening. The Luther Bible 84 says, you have fallen away from me. All my blows against your sons are in vain. Notice it's talking about the children. See, if the parents fall away from the truth, it will affect the children negatively. Especially when the parents are in the church, because now they are cutting themselves off from the church. And as a consequence, the children are being cut off. It's not only the terrible fate of the parents, it also affects the children when they fool around with things they shouldn't, when they begin to sin, when they fall away from the truth, when they fall away from God, when they fall away from the faith. Many times because they are listening to doctrines of demons. Many times, that's the consequence and that's the context. Notice Psalm 53. Psalm 53, beginning in verse 2. Let us make no mistake to think that the Church of God, and I talk about as a whole, including everyone who is in the body of Christ and those who are maybe attending true Church of God organizations, let's make no mistake that that doesn't apply to all of us, because it most certainly does. Psalm 53, verse 2. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. But again, what is the context? Notice verse 6. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion when God brings back the captivity of his people. This is talking about the time of captivity, which is still coming. Slavery for Israel, for Judah, including those in the church who will not be spared from that captivity to come. That is a context. What's he saying here? Every one of them has turned aside. Or as the Revised Standard Version says, they have all fallen away. Now all, of course, doesn't necessarily have to mean every single one. but it means quite a sizable group. That's why we are saying the falling away is still coming. It's going to come especially when the man of sin is going to manifest himself. Notice Zephaniah, chapter 1. I have seen recently people believing in doctrines of demons and then influencing others. And that will increase and become more prevalent as we are reaching that time when the man of sin, who is empowered by Satan the devil, will deceive others. Zephaniah 1, verse 4. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 4. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place. The names of the idolatrous priests with the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oath by the Lord, but who also swear by Milcom, a pagan goddess or god, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God. Here is a context. For the day of the Lord is at hand. That last time just prior to Christ's return. That's the context here. That's the time setting. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice and he has invited his guests. This is happening, especially just prior to Christ's return. God will cut off those who have turned back from following the Lord. As it says, and the New American Bible says here, and those who have fallen away from the Lord. Again and again we are reading about falling away. The Living Bible says, I will destroy those who formerly worshipped the Lord, but no longer do. Clearly having to be talking about people in the church. They formerly worshipped the Lord, but now no longer do. And those who never loved him and never wanted to. Two categories of people here. So now, what is the warning? Is there any warning? Is there any comfort, maybe, we can take from all these very difficult scriptures? Let's turn with me first to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. He says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, talking about the millennium. Lest anyone fall, after the same example of disobedience. He's just talking about the people in old times, Israel, how they fell because of disobedience. And he says, make sure you don't follow that bad example. So disobedience will lead to the falling away. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Hebrews 3:12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Unbelief. But you know, it's interesting how the Revised Standard Version puts it. Beware that there's not going to be an evil, unbelieving heart which falls away. Again, falling away is the context. It can happen through an unbelieving heart. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Keep your finger in Hebrews, I should have said that, because we're coming right back to it in a moment. But I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 16. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived. See, we just talked about an unbelieving heart. Here's a heart which is being deceived through many times doctrines of demons, as we read. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, and the land will not produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Take heed to yourselves that your hearts be not deceived. Luther's answer is quoting here is saying, lest you fall away. And the Authorized Version talks about not the Lord's anger, but the Lord's wrath. And the Lord's wrath, or the wrath of the Lord, always refers to the day of the Lord, that 1 year or so prior to Christ's return. Again, a prophecy, a warning for us, for the immediate future. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. Let me just say that at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles in Germany, I begin uttering a warning to the attendees over there, saying, I wonder how many of you I will see again next year at the feast. Because some will fall away. Hopefully it's not too many, but some will. But as we progress towards the return of Christ, more and more will. And that's a warning for all of us. Hebrews 6 and verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gifts and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about people in the church. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. If those who have received God's Holy Spirit will fall away, there is no more future. No more future for them, except to be burned up in the lake of fire. So what then are we to do? What then is the admonition, knowing what is going to happen? Notice James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 7, where we read, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, don't let your heart become deceived, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's very, very near. And now is the time more than ever to make our calling and election sure. The final scripture, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. Revelation 22 and verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly, or better, I am coming soon. And then let's drop down to verse 11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. Don't you worry about them, is what he's saying. Everybody has to make their own choice. If somebody wants to leave, if somebody is falling away, it's his or her decision. You can't stop that. You can speak with the tongues of angels, if you please, and you still won't stop that. He goes on to say, he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. But he who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. Or to read it from the NIV, let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Don't be affected by those who don't want to be righteous, who don't want to be holy, who wants to be filthy. You do what you need to do so that you are being spared from the falling away, so that you can be protected at a safe place which God has prepared for those who love him.